In this 20-minute lecture, I'm going to discuss what happens in the novel Alex and Ada. I'm going to talk about some of the visual effects and some of the themes, including romance, connection, loneliness, friendship, and sentience. In the beginning to the graphic novel Alex and Ada, Volume 1, all of the images seem very much the same. So if you look at location 9, which is a picture of Alex waking up, there's actually 5 very, very similar pictures of him. So they're horizontally organized, and at the top, Alex is lying in bed, his pillow is behind him, and his eyes are closed. And the second picture directly below that is exactly the same. And then the third picture below that, also exactly the same, and the only difference is a small voice bubble, a speech bubble. And then his eyes open a little bit, but nothing else changes about the picture. And at the bottom, you know, he says something, but again, the picture is exactly the same. And I think what's interesting about the beginning to this novel is that so many of these pictures evoke a kind of sameness about the day. So there's no variation, there's not a lot of colorful stuff happening, there's not a lot of movement. Alex himself seems kind of depressed and down, right? So his face at location 10, his face looks pretty dismal, and everything in the room seems very static and staid. Again, not much movement, not much happening. And the other thing that becomes clear at around location 10 is that there's no other people in this place. So he lives alone. He's waking up to an empty apartment. And the only thing keeping him company is something called Prime, which gives him a good morning message projected onto the wall. So this is a pretty cool kind of technology. But honestly, it seems very flat and boring and colorless. And it really doesn't seem to cheer Alex up. Like, if you look at his reaction to it, he doesn't seem to care about it very much. And then if you look at location 11, there's 6 square frames, and he's in the bathroom, and he's getting ready, and he's all alone. He's thinking to himself, so there's just thought bubbles. Again, there's no movement. He's just standing there. He's brushing his teeth. He's going to the bathroom. It's very boring and flat, and we get the feeling that this whole day is going to be very much more of the same, without any variation, boring and lonely and repetitive. At location 12, we see a robot making coffee for Alex, and this is actually the first place in the novel where we get some kind of optimism. Because the robot has a tiny little smile and is rounded and is making these cute little noises like vweep and vroom. And the whole tone is a little bit warmer than the colors that we've seen up to now. And finally, at location 13, we get a kind of explanation of all of the context for where this novel is going to occur. What kind of world are we living in, and what kind of environment is Alex facing? So the speech bubbles come from the projected images on the wall, and they tell us that 34 people were killed in a Nexaware robot rogue event where the robots kind of went mad. So here we're presented with the main problem that is facing lots of people in the novel, which is whether another AI attack is going to happen again. And this is the problem posed for us by the announcer. So it becomes clear that this may be one of the things that Alex is going to face in the story and that we are going to learn about in the novel. The next few pages up to location 17 present Alex again having a pretty boring, unvaried life. And we learn a few things about him, including that he's been through a breakup with a woman called Claire, and there's these things that you can make phone calls with, a kind of technology that is embedded in your brain, so people don't even actually have to say things. Sometimes they just think them, and those things happen. It's a little bit disturbing. And then we finish out Alex's day. He's eating dinner alone on the couch. He's watching a movie. And he goes to bed. And he doesn't even have to touch the alarm clock or touch anything in order to turn the lights out. He just thinks about it. And this seems like kind of a lonely experience for him. No touch, no connection, no other humans in his life, no one who he is close to. In fact, he even spends the next day alone. That's his birthday. And he interacts with people through some kind of online equivalent of Zoom. So it's interesting to pause here and think about how some of Alex's life mirrors our experience over the past year in the pandemic. People who live alone interact with people mainly by phone or through online video conference, and there's not a lot of opportunities to see people in person. And I would just like to point out that I've been teaching this book for a couple of years now, and it is not related to the pandemic. I did not choose this because of the idea of loneliness in the pandemic. But I do think that is a relevant thing right now. What happens next for Alex's birthday is his grandmother suggests to him that he get an Android girlfriend. And the conversation is a little bit amusing. For example, the grandmother says, okay, well, maybe if you found a real woman, you could put the Android girlfriend in the basement when you find that new person. And interestingly enough, Alex finds this problematic, and he says that sounds really sick. And his grandmother laughs, and she says, kinky, which is pretty amusing. The next scene we get is Alex is at a party. It's his surprise birthday party, so he's actually interacting physically with a lot of people. And this appears to be the first time that he's seen people in person that he knows outside of work. So we are quite a ways into the book when Alex finally gets some sort of in-person experience. The problem with this in-person experience is that it seems pretty impersonal. And at location 23, there's a lot of pictures of other people who seem to be coupled up and talking to other people intimately. And Alex himself still seems pretty lonely. There is actually a very interesting book that I have been reading about loneliness. It's not called Loneliness, it's called Friendship, and it's about the importance of friends and connections in your life in terms of improving your health. The book is by Lydia Denworth, and I'll put the information in the Blackboard. And essentially, one thing Lydia Denworth points out is that in younger life, individuals tend to rely a lot on their significant other, that is, their romantic partner, their spouse, for connections and happiness. But at a certain age, friends become more important. So after the age of 50, in fact, the more friends you have and connections, the more physically and mentally healthy you are. So in the next episode, at around location 24, Alex runs into a woman called Isabel. And she comes on to Alex pretty strong. But he gets interrupted by this drunk friend of his, and he ends up leaving the party without connecting with Isabel. And he comes home to a really empty, boring, miserable household. He's all alone. But he sees a wardrobe. He opens the wardrobe, and it is clear that this is the Android girlfriend that his grandmother had said was a good idea for him to get. So he switches her on. She walks out of the box. So next we have chapter 2 of the graphic novel. And now we finally see Alex interacting with someone. And this possibly is the first time in the novel where Alex is interacting with someone in a way that is kind of in the moment. That is, he's talking about something real that is happening around him physically. He's not talking about the future or the past. He's not talking about his ex-girlfriend or his work. And he's not talking to someone virtually on a Zoom call. In fact, what's happening is he's talking to the android. And even though her responses seem very basic, like she tells him, I sustain my energy levels through eating, so I sleep only if you would like me to. So she's giving him information It's not a very exciting conversation, but it is a real conversation about what is really happening to them. And when Alex gets home from work later on that evening, again, they have another kind of real conversation about what's really around them, which specifically is food. And it turns out that Alex actually has to feed his android. And for the first time, we see Alex getting kind of excited or interested somehow. Like there's actually a smile on his face around location 46, where he is feeding her spaghetti. And I think it's interesting here that we're not so much interested in the emotional reaction of the android, but we're looking at the reaction of the human to the android. So the human in the story is having an emotional reaction to the android. He is smiling, and this seems somehow to fulfill a purpose. So it's not so strange to think about a relationship existing between a thing and a person. If you want to consider some analogies, you could think about how humans relate to animals as pets, or how humans relate to machines that they interact with every day. Specifically, I'm thinking about cars. So if you've ever known someone who gave a nickname to their car, this is the kind of relationship I'm thinking of, where the human views the machine as kind of a pet and behaving in a predictable way, and the human wants to make sure that the machine is okay somehow. If you have ever, you know, patted your computer and said, you know, good girl or good computer, that would be an example of this kind of emotional relationship. And I would like to point out that this kind of taking care of other people is seen as emotionally healthy. It can give physical and emotional health benefits. What happens next reminds me of the structure of traditional romantic comedies. Even though this is a science fiction novel, it does have some elements of romance. So in a romance structure, usually there is movements forward, like forward towards love, and then backwards towards conflict and separation. And so those kind of repeat throughout the novel. What I mean is that the couple may get closer together and then they get further apart. They get more attracted to each other, and then they have an argument, they fight, they separate, and then they come back together. And that is exactly what happens here around location 51. Alex returns the android to the Tanaka company, but in the very next scene, we see him opening the door and saying hello again to Ada and welcoming her back into his life. In fact, this is where he gives her the name Ada. He asks her, how do you like the name Ada? And again, we see kind of a smile on Alex's face. And in fact, there's maybe a bead of sweat on him in the second panel in location 51. It seems like he's actually getting interested or emotionally involved in this android. He's not necessarily falling in love at the moment, but he seems to like her a lot more than he likes pretty much anyone else who he has interacted with in person so far in the novel. In the next chapter, which is chapter 3 of this book, Alex has to introduce Ada to his friends. And it's clear he doesn't want to do this, and it's an accident. What happens is his friend Emily comes over, Emily's dog runs in the door, and Emily walks in the door and meets Ada by accident. And so now Alex feels like he has to introduce Ada to his friends. And it's a bit of a strange encounter, to be honest. There's a lot of back and forth and a lot of weird comments that his friends make. For example, one of the friends says, she feels real, she's even warm, which really is kind of an insensitive thing to say about someone, even if you know they are a robot, right? It's kind of insensitive to comment on someone else's physical state. So throughout this inquisition from his friends, Alex maintains that Ada is not his girlfriend. And so again, this kind of reminds me of a romance novel structure, because in a romance, essentially you have both characters refusing to acknowledge that they have any kind of feelings for each other until maybe 3/4 of the way through the story. And that refusal to show that they feel anything for each other is one of the obstacles for them getting together. In the next scenes, up to around location 66, it's clear that Ada doesn't have any opinions of her own, and Alex is somewhat disturbed by this. So she does anything that he wants to do. She says she's just happy to play games with him or eat whatever he wants or do exactly whatever he wants. And this is a little bit strange for Alex, as it should be. At this point, Alex seems to get a little bit curious about Ada and the whole android thing, and he manages to find some kind of virtual forum where he can interact with people who are really off the grid, literally. People who do not have conventional opinions and who are not following all of the rules and guidelines that his friends and family are following. If you look at location 76, you'll notice that the color and the framing of Alex changes completely. So we have dark gray and white. This is the first time we've seen any such extreme contrast, color contrast, in the novel so far. So we can see that things are changing emotionally, and Alex is facing a whole new challenge here. In chapter 4, Alex finally interacts with some androids who seem very much like humans. And in fact, they seem a lot more like his friends, or even more real than his friends somehow, because they seem to have more opinions of their own. I'm talking now about location 86, where he's interacting with two strange people who actually turn out to be androids. And here's where we get something interesting from Alex, who says to these androids that he would actually like Ada to enjoy something. He would like her to have some experiences of her own. And the androids he's talking to explain to him that you can only really enjoy something if you are sentient. But in the case of Ada, she has to be given sentience. She doesn't just get it naturally. She has a switch that can be turned on or off that will control whether she's sentient or not. And so around location 89, one of the androids tells Alex that in order to let Ada experience joy, she needs to be unlocked. She needs to be freed. And if you look at location 102, this is where Ada finally wakes up. And we finally have some physical mobility and noise, more than we've seen in the entire novel so far. And this is where Ada screams because she's finally achieved consciousness. And if you want to compare it to something, it's perhaps like being born, right? It's the scream that a baby has when it's born. Around location 106, this is also where Alex finally actually has physical contact with the android. And he does this in order to prevent her from hurting herself because she's throwing herself against the wall. She basically seems to be having some kind of fit. Again, there's a comment that Ada is a little bit like a child or a baby, and the way Alex is treating her is like bringing up a child. If you look at location 112, the android who has helped wake Ada up says that, quote, "We're designed to learn and adapt, and you were her example on how to live." And Alex says, "It sounds, quote, like I was raising her," unquote. So Alex realizes that his responsibility to Ada is much like a parent to a child. This is obviously very different from a romance novel now. We are definitely in the territory of science fiction. Around location 118, there's a really interesting comparison of what Ada is going through when she achieves sentience and what Alex has been going through emotionally over the past 6 to 8 months. So as we know, Alex broke up with his girlfriend Claire, and he's been feeling really numb, it sounds like. And in location 118 at the top right in the frame, he says, "I've been trapped in my own mind. When I'm dealing with something and I can't let go or move on, it can be a lonely life." He's responding to Ada, who has just said, "Shutting it out is all easier." So what's interesting here is that the lack of emotion for Alex is being compared to the experience of being an emotionless robot. But the difference is that the sentient creatures can choose whether or not to feel the emotion. A robot can't choose not to feel emotion. It's only a sentient creature that knows the difference between feeling emotion and not feeling emotion. And so the graphic novel ends here pretty much. They get up and they leave the motel and they see the sunrise. That's an interesting moment also. In a lot of old romantic movies, you would see the sunset, and the sunset would be kind of a symbol that the two romantic characters are getting together. But here the sun is rising, and obviously that symbolizes a new world, a new day, a new beginning, a new sentience, a new life, a new consciousness, and perhaps a new relationship, right? Because Alex and Ada, now that they both have sentience, there's going to be a question of how do they relate to each other.